We take a look at 1 Peter chapter 4. I have with me my New International Version. As we do, something to consider, because today is a particular kind of day, a day which you might not have realized. You know what yesterday was, right? Halloween? It wasn't Halloween. It was Reformation Day. Did you know that? Almost 500 years ago. It's when Martin Luther hung up on the door of the Catholic of a cathedral. He hung up there in Wittenberg 95 theses or arguments right there in front of everybody to see. You see what was happening. The Catholic Church, unfortunately, what they have done is they have taken the Word of God and transformed it to their own desires, and they decided they were going to sell pieces of paper in order to get out of purgatory. Purgatory is the place you go, according to their tradition, in order to pay for your sins. The Bible says Jesus paid for your sins. In the process there of being in purgatory, your sins, you suffer judgment until enough judgment has taken place, however many thousands or millions of years, that then you're purified and able to go to heaven. Pieces of paper were being sold because there was a need for money in the church. And so they sold these things called indulgences. And you paid money, they gave you a piece of paper which said that you would get so many years out of purgatory, either for sins you've done in the past or for sins that you have done in the future. And in doing these sins, in doing these indulgences, was quite an item. You know, wouldn't you like to be spend less time in punishment? Well, looking at the scriptures, Martin Luther, who himself was Catholic, in fact, he was a teacher, a professor, and taught, and he spent time poring over the scriptures. As he did, he recognized that this was absolutely wrong. There was no scriptural point for this, place for this. And so he wrote out 95 reasons, primarily against the indulgences, but also against the church. You can imagine how well accepted that was. He was taken before trial and tried there, persecuted because of his stand for God. He's not the only example. That's something that took place. The 95 Theses took place on October 31st, 1517. But that's not the only place that we've had issues of persecution. Standing for Christ. William Tyndale, the Bible was written in Latin, and William Tyndale, he wanted it in English so that way anybody could open up the Bible, the poorest farm boy could open up the Bible and understand it. They burned him at the stake. Those are things that happened in the past. Things happen here in the present, don't they? Even here in America. Of course, we think of persecution a little differently, I think, in America. I think because we're not familiar with what's happening around the world. So today is the International Day of Prayer for the persecuted church. And as it is, it reminds me of not only what's happening here in America, but around the world. Here in America, we know that there are bakers that are persecuted because they want to stand for their faith. Florists, photographers, others that stand for their faith. And because of their stand, they're persecuted. Perhaps you yourself have been a victim of persecution Because people know that you're a Christian, they do things to try to get you in trouble or try to tempt you into sin. Or they argue with you about what's right and what's wrong. You know clearly what the scriptures say. But because they disagree with you, sometimes they cause trouble from you. Sometimes it's just a matter of ignoring you. 2007, in Burma or Myanmar, there's a statement, a document that was sanctioned by the government. And the title of this is a program to destroy the Christian religion in Burma. The first sentence states, there shall be no home where the Christian religion is practiced. Can you imagine a society, a country, a nation where Christianity, the goal is to wipe it out? There are various groups within Burma, and in those groups in Burma, what you find is that those groups struggle, as most of the nation, 90% of the nation is Buddhist. There's a small segment of the population that is Christian. And those that are Christian suffer great persecution because of it. They're told that they have to get out of their homes. They're told, and sometimes with just the clothes that's on their back, their homes are destroyed. They are imprisoned. They are tortured sometimes. There's a story that I have here from Voice of the Martyrs. And in this story is a man whose name is Peter. And Peter, he was influenced by a Christian and finally saved. And as he was saved, what he did is he went and strived to share Christ with others in a village that was basically on the water. Well, as a result, he lost his home. He was told to get out of there. He met with other Christians. There was a place that they had that was a covering, but they couldn't get any work. If you can't work, you can't what? Eat. And so there's trouble finding work. There's trouble finding something to eat. The bare necessities of life that they have to deal with. Persecution here in America is nothing like that. At least not yet. I look at the scriptures here in 1 Peter chapter 4. As I look here in 1 Peter chapter 4, I see that as Peter describes the suffering. And as he does, I want you to notice there, as he describes suffering, that he puts it in line with God's will. Look down there in verse 19. So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. You see what it says there? It says suffering according to God's will. Have you ever thought about suffering as part of God's will? Of God's overall plan? When we think of suffering, we think of sin, don't we? And the reason we think of sin is because of what sin is. Sin is what destroys. God created Genesis 1 through 1 and 2, created everything perfect. It was very good. But what happened? Sin entered into the picture, and because of sin, Adam and Eve began to die. It is why we die today. Because of sin, there's corruption that takes place in nature, so that way now we get sick and we get diseases, we get illnesses. Why? Because of sin. There is suffering because of sin. Sin in the world. Sometimes there's suffering because of our own personal sin. Decisions that we've made. Decisions to be an alcoholic and bring liver disease. Decisions to be involved with the wrong friends can result in being in prison because those friends have influenced us to steal or to kill and to destroy. Our own sin can cause us to suffer. Sometimes it's not our own sin, it's somebody else's sin. You read, I had come across in the news that last night somebody was shot. Was it their own sin or somebody else's sin? You know, if someone were to shoot you, would it be because of your sin or their own sin? It would be their sin, but it has an effect on you. They might come in and break in your house and steal your things. It's their sin that has an effect on you. So sin is also a result of other people's, or suffering is also a result of other people's sin. There's much suffering in the world. You know, I look here at the scriptures and the suffering that we face in verse 15 ought not to be because of our sin. It says here in verse 15, if you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or as a thief or as any other kind of criminal or as a meddler or troublemaker. Why does he say that? Because the suffering that Peter is talking about, according to God's will, is that which we don't deserve. It's a result of persecution. Around the world today, there's more persecution happening now than there was back in Paul's day. There's more lives that are in prison, more families that are crushed by society. There's more imprisonments called for political reasons. Sometimes a made-up charge. Voice of the Martyrs has a magazine that put out. They also have a website. And as you look on there, sometimes you'll see where that there are people put into prison. And if they have a chance to have some contact with some of the representatives, Voice of the Martyrs, they'll tell their story. And sometimes they'll say they have no reason, knowledge of why they are there in the prison. They know they've done anything illegal, or they've been charged with something that's not true. Why? Because they're making an impact for Christ. I look here at the text, and it says here, do not be surprised at the painful trials that you're suffering as though something strange was happening to you. Suffering can be within God's will, and when it is within God's will, there's response that we can have to it. What kind of response does he say? Rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that way you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. I was reading the testimony of this man called Peter. That's not his real name. He is from Burma. He's not Karen. There's many people groups, but they are mentioned here as one of the most persecuted people groups there in Burma. He says here, most of us are struggling just to get our daily food, yet I feel so happy. He feels happy. I look here and it says rejoice in our text, verse 13, that you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. Continuing his statement, Peter says, yet I feel so happy because I feel myself that I'm counted worthy to face that kind of persecution for Christ. Whenever we face opposition and whenever we face problems, it draws us closer to God. Very soon, we feel joy. Wow, do you think that'd be your response to persecution? Later he says, his prayer is to even more persecution. And his reasoning for that is that way the church will grow faster. We find that true. We see God's church grow very fast when there's persecution. There's a seriousness about who Christ is that drives men and women to go and share the Christ, share the gospel. Along with this, Peter talks about committing yourself to Him in God's will. When we are doing God's will, we need to make sure we're committed. Verse 19, it says that those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to the faithful Creator and continue to do good. We look at suffering, we know that suffering happens because of sin in the world and its effect. But God allows that to be an opportunity to grow His church. And so it becomes something that is part of God's will, God's design. I want to take a moment and make you think here a little bit. Understand that when you talk about God's will, it's much like our own will. There are things that we desire, which is our will, and there are things that we do, which is our will. There are things that we desire. You know what looked good this morning? Those donuts that we had. I wanted a donut today. I had a will, asked that desire for those donuts. But at the same time, I went against my will in order to not take those donuts. So because I didn't, actually was my will, my volition, my decision that I do not take a donut, even though I still want one. God works the same way. You see a couple different places where something here, you see this, it says it's God's will about suffering. Suffering according to God's will, that God says, oh good, I can't wait till I harm them. That's not the context here. The context is part of God's overall plan and His decision that's the way it's going to work out. Why would He do that? Well, I know Romans 8:28, do you? God works everything out for our good. And it's not in the text there, but for His glory. He uses the persecution there in Myanmar to spread the gospel to to the people that are there. The great suffering that they are dealing with is actually having the opposite effect of what the government is trying to do. In 2013, this story goes back to 2011, but back in 2013, the government did change, but things are still not a lot better there in Myanmar. We look here at our text and we see that in those persecution, that suffering that we deal with, as it is part of God's will, knowing it's part of God's will, what should I do as a response? Is commit myself to Him. Even as it says here in verse 19, that what I do ought to be such that I'm not suffering as a wrongdoer, but I recognize that God has this as part of His plan, so I'm going to be committed to continuing to follow Him. That's a hard thing to do. Continue to commit to follow the Lord when you know that it's going to be hard. We talked about Proverbs this morning in Sunday school, and as we did, we looked at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You're familiar with that? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He will make your paths, the NIV, straight. Said, life becomes easier when you use God's wisdom. Does that mean life is easy? No. Here are some people that suffer, not only in Myanmar, but all kinds of nations. Think of North Korea and China. You think of in the Middle East, where Christians are being tremendously persecuted there. Life is not easy. But in the end, it's better. Why? Because they commit themselves to the Lord and they see His blessing as a result of it. We need to make sure that we're committed to the Lord, whether we are in persecution or not. They're committed to, it says, their faithful Creator, the one who made them. And God always makes with design and purpose. Most things. Cats, I don't know. But design and purpose for what He's doing. And as He comes and has in mind a design and purpose, He's going to be faithful to that design and purpose. And part of that design and purpose is in the end, glory. See in verse 13 again, rejoice that you participate in sufferings of Christ, that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. If you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you're blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. It is for God's glory when we commit ourselves to Him. We are not in a situation where we face the same kind of persecutions that they're facing there in Myanmar even today. But we do recognize that we need to be committed to Him even when times do become difficult. In the news recently, the coach that was fired. Why was he fired? Because after the game was done, they would kneel and pray. School didn't like that. Doesn't want to have to deal with the issues, the legal issues of it. Doesn't want to stand up for a person's rights and freedoms. And so as a result, they fired him. Firing is, it's a big deal, yes. But how minor is that when it comes to food, daily food? When it comes to being ostracized from all of society? When it comes to imprisonment or beating? Scars. In this passage here this morning, we see the suffering as for being a Christian brought up by Peter. Peter, as he writes this, says, when you do suffer, make sure that you're giving glory to God. When you suffer here, rejoice because you're participating in the sufferings of Christ so that way you may be overjoyed with the glory that's revealed. Jesus says, they persecute me, they'll persecute you. And indeed. But along with that, we do have great joy, knowing that God, in the end, brings about justice, but also brings about His glory and blessing upon us. It is because of Jesus Christ and the suffering that He suffered that we can look at the table today, knowing that what He did in suffering bought us salvation. It purchased us a home in heaven. Having put our faith in Him alone, we have received that free gift. We don't have to think about purgatory. It's not even in the Scriptures. We don't have to think about suffering for our sin. Christ already suffered for our sin. And if we suffer for the sake of someone else being saved, what glory is that to the Lord as well? So we consider here this morning as we in a couple moments here participate in the Lord's Supper. It is a table for those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior and whose hearts are right before Him, who are walking in obedience to Him. It is a table that reminds us that Jesus Christ, God's Son, paid the penalty for our sin, took that suffering upon us, so that way we could have eternal life. That sin that we had, He took upon Himself, that suffering that we would endure for eternal punishment, He took upon Himself. He did that for us. Have a word of prayer, and then we'll have a hymn, and as we do, men will come forward as we prepare to serve. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would be with us this morning as we consider what you have done for us. Lord, I pray that you'd be with our brothers and sisters in Christ all around this world, almost every continent, those that are suffering because of their faith in Jesus Christ. I pray that you help them be strong. I thank you for those that we hear reports from that remain strong despite the tortures, despite the even death, that they will not refuse your name, that they will not confess other than Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that in the way that they are strong in you, the way that they will not, by way of lifestyle or by way of word, deny who you are, I pray that we as well will have the same kind of faith. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as we recognize our brothers and sisters in Christ, that you will, again, that you will protect, that you will give strength, that you will guard. Father, if need be, that you would even increase the persecution to bring many to you. Father, I ask that you would be with us here this morning as we consider our own hearts before you in gratitude for what your Son has done and in memory of what he has done, also in celebration for what he will do, coming back and taking us home to heaven. I ask, Heavenly Father, that you would fill us with joy, whether it be in the times of peace or times of suffering, knowing that your will is being done. And Lord, as your will is done, that we will see you do great and mighty things. I pray now that as we make our hearts right before you and prepare our hearts as we consider what you did at the cross, that you'll use this time to work in us tremendously by your Spirit, and that we'll participate with hearts for you. In Jesus' name, amen.